Our second scripture reading today is a letter to the church in Ephesus from Paul. And the wording is pretty complicated. He's got a lot of run-on sentences in this, so I'm going to read it slowly so you can follow it. But it's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Listen now to the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm feeling blessed today. How many here are feeling blessed today? Yay. If so, say hallelujah. Yay. It's fun to hear that from the chosen frozen. Let's say it again, only even louder. Hallelujah! See, we're letting go of our frozenness. Now I want to hear why you feel blessed. In one word, even if you shout over each other, just in one word, shout out explaining why you feel blessed today. Mother. So I hear friends, family, music, love. Yeah, being here is a blessing. Those are all really good reasons and wonderful reasons to feel blessed. So what about the times, though, when we don't feel so blessed? When the cancer diagnosis comes in, when the bank statement is very scary, when your house burns, when the things that we used to be able to do are now but dreams in the past, where does that feeling of being blessed go at times like that? We might lose our awareness of being blessed. We might lose that loving feeling, as they say. But that doesn't mean the blessings aren't still there. It means that we have let other things take our attention away, which is normal. Concerns and worries can block out the sunshine from our faces. Stuff happens. That was what Paul was defending against in this passage today as he was speaking in a letter for the developing church in Ephesus. Paul knew that Ephesus had big challenges in store for them. They were in a very pagan land, with many Roman and Greek idol worshipers challenging the new church daily. Paul was preparing them for the challenges by reminding them of their blessings, their purpose, and their power in Christ. When I was in Ephesus 3 years ago, I saw how there was very little remaining of the church structure. This was about all there was that they had to show us of what remained of the Christian church in Ephesus. Now, the archaeologists had excavated a lot of the temple to the goddess of Diana, but only a small portion of the remains of the Christian church. And this is some of the temple to the goddess of Diana that the little Christian church was right beside. And then there was the temple of Artemis, which is the next one that we went to, which was right beside the area where they found the remains of the small Christian church. The Christian Ephesians had a lot of religious competition in Ephesus. And so Reverend Dr. Charles Swindoll wrote a lot about the book of Ephesians, and he kind of sets the stage for us today, explaining that Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians sometime after the death of Jesus in the year 60 to 61. Now, that's pretty soon after the death of Jesus. The letter was delivered to Ephesus by Tychicus, was his name. He was one of Paul's disciples, because Paul was in Rome when he wrote this letter, suffering his first imprisonment. And you can see from this map, Tychicus had a very long trek to get the letter from Paul in Rome all the way over to Ephesus. You can imagine how many months that must have taken by foot back in those days. Now, Ephesians is one of the four epistles, they're called. Epistles means letters, commonly known as the prison epistles or the prison letters. The others that Paul wrote during this first imprisonment in Rome are Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So he was very prolific, actually, and that's how he spent his time in prison. So why is Ephesians so important? It is one of Paul's most formal letters, the Bible scholars say, dealing with the very core of what it means to be a Christian, both in faith and in practice. Paul spent the first three chapters of his letter to the Ephesians discussing God's creation of this holy community. And he reassured them that they had been chosen by God through the work of Christ, adopted as sons and daughters of God, and then brought near to God's kingdom through their faith in God's Son. Paul explained that all people with this new faith in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles, were at one time what he called dead in their transgressions and their sins, but now had been given new life because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. While Paul was not responding to a particular theological or moral problem like he does in a lot of his other letters, for this one, for the church in Ephesus, he wanted to protect them against future problems by encouraging the Ephesians to mature in their faith. Now, this is what we call in nursing anticipatory guidance. We're taught that a lot in nursing school. You try to teach the patient things that will prevent them from having troubles in their future that you can predict might come up with their health. And so Paul was using anticipatory guidance in this letter. And isn't that what we all still need today? A mature faith that still protects us against succumbing to our problems. I don't know if you heard the news yesterday on NPR, but it was talking about how suicide increases when there's a discussion of suicide in the news somewhere. And I was wondering, after Anthony Bourdain's suicide and Kate Spade's, if there'd been an increase, because they said just hearing about people committing suicide can influence other people to commit suicide. So that was really scary to hear, having had a brother do that. You know, suicide really is a deep pain in my heart. And so having a mature faith even can do a lot to help prevent these feelings of succumbing to the problems and not feeling so overwhelmed. They said that the terror of living becomes more than the terror of death for those who choose suicide. The terror of living becomes more than the terror of death, and that's why they go ahead with it. So a mature faith can be like an armor that you can wear, like a shield that shields you from the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or outrageous misfortune, as Hamlet used to say. A deep faith in God is like having a big, spongy mattress to catch you when you fall. That was one of the things that just came to my mind. So I encourage you to think about, like, what kind of imagery comes to your mind when you think about what a deep faith in God does for you? What does it do to shield you or protect you or to catch you when you fall? Just ponder that for a minute. And when you read this passage again, you can't help but feel blessed and protected by your faith that you have in Jesus in these words, if you deeply believe them. So let's break down the passage a little bit and realize that this passage tells us you have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. It doesn't say you had to do anything to deserve that. You don't have to earn that. You have been blessed just because you exist. You were chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before God in love. Basically, when you were born, like a little Davis, you already were meant to be holy and blameless, surrounded by God's love. God destined us all for adoption through Jesus Christ, it says. Thanks to his glorious grace so freely bestowed upon us all. Thus, we are inheritors of the faith, hope, and love that comes from following Jesus. Now, this language of adoption and inheritance, that would have meant a lot to the Jews and the Greeks in Ephesus. It was strongly valued in that culture, especially in that time, to feel like you're adopted into something where you would receive an inheritance. In those days, if your family did not leave you an inheritance of some kind when they died, you often were left just desperate. Wealth in those days built upon wealth over the generations, as it still does today. Yet there was no kind of safety net, no social safety net for those who did not have that kind of inheritance. The people born in poverty really had no hope for an inheritance, especially when their parents were barely able to provide daily sustenance to them. And so this thought of having an inheritance from God through faith in Jesus was probably very reassuring and heartwarming to those living in Ephesus, and especially to those who were poor and oppressed. And then Paul goes on to say, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, or as we say in our Lord's Prayer, the forgiveness of our debts. Thanks to the amazing grace that he lavishes on us. Paul actually used the word lavish, which in ancient Greek is parousio. Parousio is the way you say that in Greek. Parousio. And it also means abundant, overflowing, and abounding. So basically, we are flooded with God's grace in redemption. And then one of my favorite professors at Princeton, Dr. Sally Brown, said, that is the true meaning of redemption, God's determination to bless humanity. Now, does that change your image of God at all when you realize that God is determined to bless you? You know, some people say there's an image that we should have of God chasing after us, trying to bless us in everything we do. I don't think people think of God like that, but this is the explanation of what God is and what God feels for us. Sort of like the father chasing after the prodigal son, trying to get him to come back home and forgiving everything unconditionally. That's how God is, seeking us out, pursuing us with love, hoping that we'll be aware that that love is with us and unconditional. So God chooses Jesus Christ as the instrument to redeem us, the conveyor of God's grace, to pursue us with his relentless love, and to save us from ourselves and show us how humanity was meant to be. By looking at the life of Christ, we can see God's grace and mercy that assures us that we are included in God's promises. We are blessed, chosen, forgiven, and redeemed. Can you say that after me? We are blessed, chosen, forgiven, and redeemed. So when you're feeling blue someday, just say that to yourself. I am blessed, I am chosen, I am forgiven, I am redeemed. And hope that lifts your spirits no matter what's going on. And then Paul goes on to say, with all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So basically he's saying, so learning about Jesus, understanding the way of Jesus, which is what they used to call following Jesus back in the beginning, they called it the way. So if you can understand, learn about Jesus and understand the way, it reveals the mystery of God's will as a plan for the fullness of time. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? To think of the hope that's in that. That even though today we might be despairing because things just seem in chaos, there seems to be a lot of hate out there, there seems to be a lot of stuff that just we don't expect to happen, the will of God will come to fruition in the fullness of time. And we can trust in that. And so the grand finale then in this passage is that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that passage is reflected in what we say during the sacrament of baptism, if you remember. We say, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. God gives us that sense of being specially chosen, specially adopted, and given a sense of belonging that many people lack. There are many in our society today who feel unchosen, who feel lost and alone. So the good news of the gospel is you belong to God. And we demonstrate that in the baptism ceremony. I think all of us know what it feels like to not be chosen for something, don't we? I remember in grade school recess, I used to dread going out and trying to play kickball with everybody else because I was always the last one chosen because I was the shortest one in the class and not a very fast runner. And so it was kind of a bad feeling, I remember, to run out there and be the last one chosen almost every time for the kickball game. And then I can still remember getting the last uniform for basketball in sixth grade. I was trying out for the basketball team in sixth grade, and even though I sat on the bench for most of the games, I was still so happy to wear a real basketball uniform, even though I was chosen last again, and it was one of their like old uniforms that they found somewhere that they decided they could give to me. But I was so glad to be on that team, and even just sitting on the bench with that uniform, I was so proud to get to wear it. Now, those who truly believe that God provides these blessings of belonging and redemption and grace find a way to feel truly grateful, even though it may not be the wonderful image you had of yourself or what you were hoping to get. And then we want to glorify God in response. That's the response of our gratitude. And yet these blessings, as they are described in this passage, are meant for the whole community of believers to receive and not just for one to walk around alone feeling blessed. Our God is a God of relational community, as demonstrated in this image. That is why the Trinity image of God as the Holy Three is so important. We are created to be relational and live in community, not alone. I was struck by that when I saw there's a new commercial out about some new Survivor series that's coming out, and they're showing clips of how they just planted people on desert islands all by themselves and told them to figure out how to survive. And some of them like have suits on when they planted them there. They like took them from whatever they were doing and just took them out to an island with nothing. And in the clips on the commercial, you hear people say, the thing that got to me the most wasn't the hunger, it was being alone. I couldn't stand being alone. I had to find other people. And that's because we're not to wander this weary world on our own. Joining a healthy faith community, especially, is a great way to live up to the foundational purpose that we were created to be. We are to be one in community, loving, creating, supporting, laughing, crying, and praying together. Like that song, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. Unity in community is God's desire for us. And God knows that internally and externally, we are healthier and happier in community. So the way to respond to this generous, lavish, communal blessing from God is to receive the blessing with gratefulness and then to bless others. Be blessed and be a blessing. Just ponder the gravity of this blessing for a moment. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, it says. And our response then is to live our lives as a blessing to others, to pass it on. Remember that old church summer camp song? How many remember the song, Pass It On? Does anyone remember that? As a kid, I used to love it when we sang that and we'd pass the candle around a circle around the campfire. It really had a big impression on me. And the lyrics are, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around are warmed up by its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread this love to everyone. You want to pass it on. And when I thought about it, this song, I think, did have a beginning of my call to ministry. I really did take that to heart and feel, even as a kid, that it was my job to pass on God's blessings to others. And so let's listen and just take this time to silently thank God for all our mutual blessings. And feel free to sing along if you want to, or just meditate on your blessings as this video is played. And let's turn the lights down, too. Thank you. Amen.